Now we turn to the Board of Patent Appeals. If that phrase makes you more bored than it holds appeal, bear with me. It's very possible that this very important board that you may never heard of, this panel which rules on extremely important patent law cases worth billions of dollars, could be comprised of judges who were appointed unconstitutionally. Yes, in 1999, a law changed the way judges are appointed to the Board of Patent Appeals. That law could invalidate many of the decisions the board's made for almost a decade. A tangible example of what the board does, a couple of years back when Microsoft claimed that Apple stole some of their technology for the iPod, well, that's the case that a board like this might hear. The man who discovered the possible unconstitutionality is our next guest, John Duffy, a law professor at George Washington University Law School. He wrote the Telltale Paper. Hello, Professor.
Hello.
So why were you looking at the issue in the first place?
Well, professors have the luxury of looking at what interests them. And there was a case wending its way through the courts at the time involving other legal issues. And I was curious about the case because I had a lot of very complex and interesting legal issues. So I was spending some time just trying to understand them. I thought the case itself was like a really great exam in one of the areas I teach in.
Yeah.
And as I was looking through that, I started to look at issues sort of further and further afield from the basic issues in that case, just out of curiosity. And I ran across this provision. And I thought this certainly can't be right. This simply is not correct. The law in this area is fairly clear, and this isn't constitutional.
When you say this couldn't be correct, the law that changed the way that judges were appointed to this board—that's the thing that couldn't be correct.
That's correct. That's correct. The law stated that the judges on this board are appointed by the Patent Office Director.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very small number of ways in which important officials who are called officers in the Constitution can be appointed under the Constitution. And the someone who is an Undersecretary of Commerce, which is the head of the Patent Office, simply doesn't have the power under the Constitution.
So maybe the president has the power and maybe the department head of the Department of Commerce has the power. But this 1999 law changed who was doing the appointing. And you just said that goes against the Constitution.
Yes, that was my first reaction. That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And then I began to investigate to try and make sure I wasn't missing anything. Of course, I first looked to see how many other people have talked about this. And noticed this, and I thought there'd be, you know, several articles that said, gee, this is a problem, we have to address this. And I couldn't find anything, which I thought was strange. So I thought for sure I was wrong, that something is I'm missing. But I went through rather carefully and checked every way I could under the doctrine, under the various provisions of the laws, to the powers these judges had. To see if they qualified as officers, if they were significant enough. There's a whole set of cases on that.
Yeah.
And after all this checking, I became quite convinced that I was right and the law was wrong.
And now that you've gone public, everyone who has a dog in the fight has been able maybe to knock your case or prove you wrong. And has anyone been able to do that or even try to do that?
No, that has not happened. And indeed, even before I published this or put this out in the world, I actually talked to several colleagues of mine who teach in the same area, people who worked previously in the government as well, whose responsibilities include this particular kind of issue of constitutional law. And no one thought I was wrong. Everyone thought I was right. And everyone thought it wasn't a close case.
Right. So what – I guess the big question is, what does it mean if you're right? I mean, good job. You found a flaw. But what's the – in the real world, what are the consequences?
Well, the consequences will be significant, I think. The government in some of its filings have said that the consequences will be quite traumatic and quite cataclysmic. I think that they are trying to overplay things a little bit. I'm not exactly sure of their strategy. I think their strategy is in part to sort of tell the courts, you simply can't follow the Constitution.
Right. They're saying something like, okay, maybe you're right, we made a mistake, but what that means is society as we know it's going to fall apart. They're kind of raising the stakes there.
Right. And that clearly isn't true. It's not going to be a catastrophe and people running through the streets, ripping their hair out. It will have significant legal consequences, and many of the decisions that were rendered that are still in the pipeline, in other words, they're still being adjudicated, are likely to have to be re-adjudicated under a constitutionally constituted Board of Appeals.
Do you have any idea that if they never changed the law, would we have totally different judges, or is it possible they maybe even have the same slate of people there ruling on the cases?
Well, if they had never changed the law, the judges would have been appointed by the Secretary of Commerce, which is one of the ways that the Constitution specifies that officials can be appointed. It's impossible to say exactly who would have been appointed by various secretaries of commerce if the Secretary of Commerce had to pass on these judges.
Mm-hmm.
The whole basis for this particular constitutional provision is the sense among the framers of our Constitution that only very high-level officials who are very close to the electorate should be appointing other people who exercise significant powers in our country. They wanted to prevent the diffusion of appointments, in part because they thought that if responsibility of appointing high-level officials was diffused throughout the government, that would sort of weaken accountability.
Right.
And that, I think, is the basic principle that's at issue in this case, and we can't tell. I do think that someone who is a cabinet secretary is very, very careful about making an appointment, because if something goes wrong with that appointment, it will be a black mark.
It could bounce back to them, and that there you get to the accountability. But one thing that strikes me as unfair, and it may be following the law, but this law was passed in 1999 during the Clinton administration, and most of the judges who have been appointed since then, maybe Clinton and his administration got a couple in, but they've all been appointed by the Bush administration. So if this law is proved unconstitutional and the judges were all there in error, it's like a whole administration for two terms didn't get to appoint any of their judges.
Well, then I think the administration should change this very quickly.
Yeah.
They still have time left. There's not a new president. We don't even know who one of the nominees will be yet.
Right.
So there's still time. If they change this very quickly, they would get the opportunity, the Secretary of Commerce would get the opportunity to appoint, and the appointments could be done rather swiftly. It's not unlike the process of confirming people through the Senate, which historically has taken a fair bit of time. The appointment by a cabinet secretary can be done rather swiftly. There was a legislative fix that was put into legislation, the then pending patent legislation, 6 weeks after I originally wrote this article. It passed the House of Representatives. So 6 weeks after I put this out, published this, there was a legislative fix that was in Congress. It passed the House of Representatives. It's now pretty clear that it's died in the Senate.
Right.
So I think the administration should get Congress to act a little bit more swiftly on this.
Are you a hero among legal scholars today?
I doubt it.
They're not retiring your jersey or anything like that?
Well, no, I still have a large stack of papers on my desk.
And finally, the exact moment you figured it out, was it eureka? Did it work like in the movies where you said, hey, wait a minute, and you circled something? Do you remember that moment?
Yes, I do remember that moment. I was looking through the statute. I had the statute in front of me, and I was thinking about lots of different issues, the other legal issues, and I read this provision, and I said, no, that can't be right. There's something wrong here. I thought, surely, how could anybody miss this? How could this happen? And it was it was something where I thought, this is kind of incredible. I actually began doing searches and figuring out, you know, how many people have talked about this. When I found no one had talked about it, I did think that it was somewhat significant.
Wow. John Duffy, law professor at the George Washington University School of Law. Thank you, Professor Duffy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for protecting the Constitution.